Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that is before us today is taken from the Gospel of Mark in two verses from chapter 14. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Dear fellow, redeemed by the blood of God's own Son, I have been to many 4th of July parades, as I'm sure many of you have also. But I have never carried the flag. I've always supported our brave men and women who go off to fight for our country, but I've never been a soldier. Just like many of you, I support our South Carolina Gamecock teams, but no one would ask me or expect me to play for them. In our lives, there are, of course, areas where we all find it more comfortable or even necessary to be fans and onlookers, while others carry the flag and fight the fight, play the game. If there are too many mosquitoes, we may not go to the parade at all. If the sun is too hot, if the work is too great, or the fight is too dangerous, we may simply cheer from the sidelines. But when it comes to our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, He makes flag bearers, not fans. He makes soldiers, not spectators. This young man who fled in naked fear that night of the Lord's capture in the Garden of Gethsemane was the same Mark who authored this gospel from which the text comes. He wanted to look on. He followed the Lord and into the garden, and he wanted to see what would happen. He's kind of like his uncle Peter. But what he would learn was that no one who has been faced with Jesus can be a far-off fan any longer. He cannot be a mere onlooker. He is now involved with Jesus, one way or another. It would take Mark a while for him to learn that lesson. The book of Acts tells us that on Paul's first missionary journey, he took Mark with him, and they went to the island of Cyprus, and Mark did very well there, preaching the gospel. But then when they went to Asia Minor, to the area of Pamphylia, Mark became afraid again. And we suspect that he went home to Jerusalem to be with his mother, where they lived. And when Paul and Barnabas then began planning for the second missionary journey to return to those congregations they'd first founded, like Cyprus, Then Barnabas, who was Paul's partner, wanted to take his cousin Mark along with him, and Paul objected. Paul objected so strenuously that Paul and Barnabas separated and each went his own way. Barnabas took his cousin Mark along with him, and they returned to Cyprus. Paul took Silas. As the years went by, it's clear from the record that Mark grew spiritually. He's later mentioned as a fellow laborer and a comfort to Paul. When the apostle Paul wrote to the Colossians, he asked them to welcome Mark when he came to them. And near the end of Paul's life, when he's under house arrest in Rome, when he summons Timothy to come to Rome to be with him once more before he dies, he adds these words to Timothy: "Get Mark, bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry." Mark had grown in his spiritual life as a confessor and a witness of the Lord Jesus. He was moved of course, in coming to Rome, at Paul's request, he was moved to place his own life in great personal danger. And clearly Mark then was no longer just a fan. He wasn't just a flag bearer. He wasn't just a spectator. Or I should say he was a flag bearer and a soldier. And we know from tradition, or at least we believe from tradition, that Paul died the martyr's death. So did Mark, as a fighter of the good fight. I wonder if you remember little Zacchaeus. You know, that little man who climbed the tree to see Jesus as he went by in that wonderful parade. Well, Zacchaeus wasn't allowed to remain high up in that sycamore tree just because he was short. He wasn't allowed to just simply watch Jesus go by in that parade. The Lord faced him with a decision. He said, "Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Jesus wasn't picking on Zacchaeus. He was impelling him by his command to take up his flag and follow the Lord. This was the beginning of Zacchaeus' march with his Savior and for his Savior. When we encourage one another, as Paul encouraged Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, we aren't talking about standing alongside watching a 4th of July parade. We're not talking about supporting our troops by our prayers only. We're certainly not talking either about cheering for the Gamecocks. Every minute of our Christian lives involves a decision. Are we going to be for Christ in a real, meaningful way, or are we going to be against him? Are we going to fight and struggle against the forces of evil that would tear us away from our Savior? Or are we going to be complacent, easygoing, laid back, unconcerned, because we're comfortable? Let's test ourselves. This is a comfortable church. It's air conditioned. When we began our service this morning, we began in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And so we were reminded that here, in the presence of His Word, we are in the presence of our Almighty God and Savior. Now, the first thing is, did you think about that when I said the words? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, did you think, I'm in the presence of Almighty God, He's come to me with His Word? And then, after thinking about that, how long did you stay there in your own mind and heart? Have we permitted ourselves to be distracted by the little children or by the movement of others? Or have we fought hard, I mean fight, to focus our attention on the word of the Lord and His blessed pronouncement of forgiveness? Have we daydreamed our way through the service? Or have we been fighting against those thoughts that intrude themselves about what are we going to do after the service? Where are we going to have lunch? Etc., etc. Have we fought to keep our focus on our Savior or not? Because we're comfortable? When we sang, "The Son of God goes forth to war," did we see ourselves marching along in the parade as spectators or as flag bearers? What was the part we saw ourselves playing, or didn't we see anything as we sang the words? Where was our focus? Is there any fight in us? Or are we just fans Have we been fighting to hear the word? Resisting always the attempts of the enemy to snatch the word from our hearts, not only in the service, but in our day-to-day lives as Christians. Where's the fight? We've all been amazed by the stories of those tens of thousands of Christian martyrs who were burned at the stake, whose heads were chopped off, who were crucified or burned and to nothing and shredded by lions. These were heroic confessors of Christ. But have we been inspired by them to at least perspire with them in the fight? Or are we too comfortable? There are no roaring lions. There are no fires to face for us as Christians in our country, in our community. Why, as a matter of fact, this is the Bible Belt. And nearly everybody you meet will say, I'm a Christian. But what if we began to make little decisions like not letting the next dirty story or curse word pass by unnoticed without our objection? In all humility. What if you said no when your friends ask you to accompany them when you know that they're going on a drinking binge? What if you object to these things? Well, then you might in the distance hear the lion's roar and the fire might rise up and you might get a little hot, maybe a little embarrassed. Hopefully not ashamed. Suppose one of our moralistic friends, and we all have them, suppose they express the feeling that, after all, every religion is just like every other religion, as long as one is sincere. What if one of our friends said that we believe the same God that the Muslims do, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Mormons, and the Jews? We all believe in the same God, because after all, there's only one God. Or what if one of our moralistic friends said, God will accept me because I'm good. Or I've tried. What if you humbly objected to these as lies? What if you told the truth about the absolute depravity of all people? What if you inserted into the conversation, there is only one Savior of mankind, that's the Holy Son of God, not just a prophet, but the Eternal One, the Creator, the Redeemer of mankind? What if you said, I don't know about you, but I'm not good. I need my Savior. Well, then you would not feel so comfortable. You might feel the temperature rise and you might hear the lion's roar in the background. What if you decided to come to Bible class? Or to review the catechism with the pastor. Because in your heart you've become convinced that you are not the best witness for Jesus Christ. That you are not as well grounded as you ought to be and could be if you were immersed in the Word. Well, if you did these things, then you wouldn't be a fan any longer, only you'd not be just an innocent bystander. If we became more involved in the life and labor of our Savior, we wouldn't be quite so comfortable. But neither would we be only fans, only spectators. We would be soldiers of our Lord Jesus, flag bearers for Him. Instead of fleeing from the world whenever it grabs the outer garments of this life, instead we would stand, we would confess, we would fight for the truth of Christ which saves. We'd be prepared for the lions and for the fires that rise up against us, as small and insignificant as they are. Now, there have to be spectators at parades and fans in the stands. There's nothing wrong with entertainment. But as our Lord passes by us, every one of us, he's not entertaining us. This is not about being religious relatively to someone else. Listen to what your Savior says, for he warns us, he impels us to either move along with him by his gospel or risk being torn away and lost in the crowd. And then our true nakedness would be exposed to God, our Savior. Jesus says, "Whosoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is a real issue. We are to be carried along by his gospel and by every encouragement of his word to confess him boldly and faithfully, or risk being torn away and disappearing again into the crowd. I remember the annual 4th of July parade in Okabena, Minnesota. It was a big deal, very big deal. And St. John's congregation often hosted the ice cream social afterward. I think they still do. In that little town, the parade was a big deal. Young and old would stand when the flag came by. Everybody stood. Some saluted. But all stood there, proudly focusing on the flag as it went by. And as soon as the flag went by, everyone sat down on the curb, waiting to gather the sweet candy that would be thrown by the clowns and the folks in the cars. It's not enough to stand and salute when Christ's flag is approaching, and then immediately sit down on the curb after it passes by. Because if we're really his true disciples, then we're going to stand and be counted. We're going to be flag bearers, not fans. We're going to be soldiers, not spectators. It's not enough to sit by the curb of comfort and complacency and wait to gather up the sweet gospel that we hear every Sunday. But we are to stand, and we are to deliver the sweet gospel of God's mercy to those out there in the marketplace, standing on the streets, sitting on the curb. It's not for us to sit, it's for us to stand, to throw out the message of mercy and forgiveness along the streets of our own community whenever the Lord gives the opportunity. And he gives those opportunities all the time. This is our calling, not as a pastor only, but as the members of Christ's flock, as the sheep of his pasture, as those he sent out with the blessed gospel of forgiveness into all the world. That's you. So let us pray. If at times we have felt the heat and fled the scene, Lord, forgive us. Make us more than fans and spectators. Be patient with us as you were with John Mark. Do not let those whom you have found become lost again in the crowd. Put your mark upon us as your flag bearers and soldiers always. Grant us also this grace. Amen.